You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
I don't even really have anything for this one. It's so bizarre.
and that's only available on Netflix.
Yeah. Hello. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. We still haven't come up with a cute name for this month.
No, I thought we had one.
Netflix and Kill.
Yeah.
That was from it. Your sister.
Yeah.
Okay. So welcome to Netflix and Kill month.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Or 2 months.
Or 2 months.
Depending on how often we do
the Netflix and Kill segment of our show.
There it is.
Of the overall narrative that is this podcast. Before we get into the first movie we watched, which was Bright. That was on Netflix. Let's talk about how you can reach out to our show. Easiest way to do that is to visit our website. You can go to stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork on the front page of the website, and you can actually listen to all of our older episodes on there. We just watched the entire MCU, minus Thor Ragnarok and now Black Panther.
Yeah.
The entire MCU up to Spider-Man Homecoming last year, so if you want to listen to those, they're all there.
We've also watched like almost every Underworld movie.
Yeah.
Several Fast and Furious.
Yes,
we've recorded more than 170 episodes.
There's quite a
show.
Backlog. We're getting closer to 200. It's getting there.
It's gnarly.
So you can go there and listen to all of our old episodes. You can also subscribe on iTunes, or as I've learned now that it's I've seen new banners that say like available in Apple Podcasts. So I don't know. Okay. I mean, it's still the same thing,
sure.
But. You know,
yeah, they're getting away from the branding of iTunes.
Yeah, sure. So
it's
Apple Podcasts.
Me biting an apple.
You can also on Stitcher as well as on any sort of Google Play Store, as well as anything that touches the general podcast feeds.
Are we on Spotify?
No, Spotify is difficult. I've learned. I have heard that Anchor will help get you on Spotify, but I'm not sure how true that is.
Shaking my chin right now.
We'll see. But yeah, Spotify is weird. Like they only pick like the ones that have a lot of listeners and like a lot of downloads. And
the YouTube problem where it's like, oh, you can't monetize your podcast or your show unless you have a ton of subscribers.
Right. Exactly.
Like, oh, how do I get subscribers? Well, monetizing your
that's why Patreon
feed is a is
that's
a good
why
way
Patreon
to,
exists.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you can do that. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook and Instagram and Letterboxd.
Facebook.
All of those there. You can also follow us individually on the internet. For me, Ian, you can find me at iRich. That's at @IRITCH.
I'm on Twitter and like Instagram and all the other things too, is Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email our show. There's a contact us button on the front page of the website. You can email that and shoot us an email. And in fact, we actually got an email. I think it's our new, probably a new section of Back at the Ranch, in which 10K, our good friend Sean, wraps up all the stats about the movies. So super action stats at the end, SAS, if you will.
Oh,
that's just like
we don't have enough of that.
Top of my head. No, 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 no. Only the one time a year when your sister shows up and schools us on whatever it is she schools us on.
She does usually school us.
Yes. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, let's talk about Bright.
Yeah. So I was thinking about it. I think this is the first not shown in theaters movie we've watched on the show.
That's true. I think you're right.
I'm not 100%, but I'm trying to think of the ones
I'm trying to think of
that are questionable.
That's like straight to DVD or straight to VHS.
Maybe
watched.
One of the Underworlds. No, all the Underworlds have been theatrically released. Transformers, the movie, came out in theaters.
Yes.
Now, you know what? We have watched the DC animated,
that's true.
A couple of the
that's
DC
true.
Animated ones.
That's
we
true.
Watched a couple of DC
this
animated
This is the first live
originals.
Action movie
sure.
that
yeah.
was not that has not premiered in the theater that we watched.
Yeah. So we watched Bright. Bright, it was a kind of a big deal when it came out. Remember we were at Comic-Con and there was just marketing everywhere
for
this movie and
yeah.
it wasn't even out for another 6 months and it was Netflix. Like it's not like
well, it was a big deal. This was like their first like I mean if when you look at this movie it has production value.
It feels like a grown-up, like a big boy movie.
Yeah,
it
looks like they spent some money
movie.
On this.
Yeah, well, no, they spent like $90 million.
Yeah, looks like it.
Which is more money than I'll ever see in my whole life.
I mean, by the end of it, you might have seen a 90th of that.
Great.
I mean, over the course...
Over the course of my entire lifetime.
I've seen $1 million in person. You can go to Binion's in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, and they have $1 million that you can take a picture with.
Oh, I've watched that video.
It's a stack of ones in a pyramid.
I've watched that video where the British group KLF burned £1 million after their number one hit.
Mm.
It's not the same.
Anyway, so how is this? Is this movie like burning £1 million?
Yeah, it kind of is. let's go through the people who made this movie. So this movie is It's actually odd. I was just looking at it. There's only one writer for this movie.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. It's Max Landis.
Yes.
John Landis's son.
I was wondering if that was John Landis's kid.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Funny story. He tweeted after he finished the original script for this movie, "I think I've just written my Lord of the Rings." Okay. I mean, it's got elves and orcs. So written by Max Landis. Max Landis also wrote, he's actually written a decent amount of movies. Whether
he's
or not they're good.
Of a show?
He's the creator of the Dirk Gently Holistic Detective Agency, which is based on a Scott Adams series of books.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote the movie Victor Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
The movie Mr. Right.
Uh-huh.
The movie American Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Me, Him, Her. Mm-hmm. And that's just in 2015. Besides
he's done
that,
some work.
Yeah, he wrote. He's, I don't know. He's good and bad. He's written some comics that I wasn't crazy about. He did an episode of Masters of Horror in 2005. For some reason, I thought he did World War Z.
No, nope. You're thinking of Max Brooks. That's Mel Brooks's kid.
Wow, everybody just named their, just named their kids Max.
That's true.
I guess it's a thing you do.
Yeah.
Actually, is he the son of
John Landis?
Yep, yeah, he definitely
is. Yeah.
All right. So
he's got that smile.
So Max Landis wrote this.
Uh-huh.
It's directed by David Ayer.
Yeah, that would explain the inclusion of Will Smith.
Right. David Ayer, he is the guy who directed Suicide Squad. And he directed Fury and End of Watch and Street Kings and Hard Times. He really likes to make movies about cops.
Yeah, that's very clear. And
or World War II, people who are in violent situations where it's very violent.
It's funny that you mention End of Watch and Suicide Squad because I feel like this movie in some ways tries to combine them.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
We'll get there when we talk a little bit about the movie itself rather than the cast, but I think this movie's got a tonal problem.
Oh yeah.
I think
this movie
has
more than
just
a tonal problem.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing though that really was.
I've been thinking hard about it since
I
saw it last
night. I have
too.
I watched a little bit longer, let it stew, but let's put it this way. I did enjoy it more than Catwoman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think I was wrong in saying that it was better than Catwoman.
Speaking of Catwoman, one of the writer just yesterday on Twitter,
yeah,
basically was like, yeah, Catwoman's garbage.
Well, thank you.
He said he never watched it in one sitting.
Oh, well, we did.
Yeah, but he
thanks
got paid
for, that.
For it.
That's true. We didn't.
All right.
If someone wants to donate money to us for watching Catwoman, please.
Yeah, man. We
feel free.
At least have a pizza.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the cast of this movie. The cast of this movie is Will Smith. And that's where they spent their budget on cast.
Absolutely.
And then they got a bunch of other people.
Yes.
Joel Edgerton plays the orc partner, Nick Jacoby.
Uh-huh. He's been in some other things,
though. Almost everybody in this cast list is like, yeah, I've seen them in stuff recently.
Yeah.
They're like that guy and that lady actors for the 20 teens.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, it's like, oh yeah, they've been in a whole bunch of stuff recently.
Yeah, this guy
but none of it's remarkably memorable.
Yeah, he was in The Great Gatsby, the Baz Luhrmann one.
Yeah,
he was in
that.
Black Mass,
mm-hmm.
Warrior, The Gift. I remember that movie. I didn't watch it, but I remember seeing it.
Just named a whole bunch of movies I haven't seen.
Yeah. The Great Gatsby is a Baz Luhrmann movie, so
sure.
It looks
yeah,
really
how could you
it
not
looks
watch
really
it?
Pretty.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yep.
The substance is missing. Don't get me wrong. I like Baz Luhrmann movies because I know what I'm getting in for. I'm like, oh, this is going to be really visually pretty.
Yeah. And there's going to be some singing.
And there's going to be, well, there wasn't really any.
Oh, there's going to be some good use of music.
Yeah. Actually, I will say Great Gatsby was a little bit, was pretty good. It was actually pretty, because I remember enjoying reading that book when I was in like high school.
I like how Baz Luhrmann uses music in movies, mm-hmm. especially the like sort of unexpected.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's why I enjoyed Moulin Rouge a lot. Too
so,
much.
Next on the cast list, Noomi Rapace. She is in Prometheus. She is the girl with the dragon tattoo in the movie The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Not the American one.
The original Swedish
she's
one.
She's in Prometheus. Okay.
Yeah. She's also in Alien Covenant. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's probably the most recognizable actor after Will Smith in this
probably,
movie.
Probably, yeah. Well, see, you can't recognize Joel Edgerton because he's covered
right.
in makeup.
But I mean, like, she's probably the most well-known.
Sure.
Because she was arguably the star of Prometheus.
Sure.
Next, we have Edgar Ramirez, who is another person. I'm like, oh, I've seen him in stuff. He was in the new Point Break. He was Kurt Russell in the new Point Break.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was Kurt Russell's character, Bodie. he is, yeah, he's in that Versace show. He plays Gianni Versace on the Versace show.
Okay.
Which is, I understand some people very much like that.
Okay.
Besides that, we've got Lucy Fry, who I don't think does a complete sentence this whole movie. But she's on the Hulu direct series 11/22/63, that weird time travel show.
Okay. I saw that movie. What's his name? The miniseries.
James
Franco.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought you looked familiar.
James Franco travels back in time and maybe or doesn't kill, the president?
No. Okay. He tries to stop the assassination attempt.
Yeah. Or it's his fault.
Yeah. No.
Based on a Stephen King series.
Yeah. You should, it's decent. It's decent. It's a good miniseries. I think when you take Stephen King's work and miniseries it, it works better than when you try to make an actual movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, not all of them are good. But
we also have Veronica Ngo, who is a Vietnamese actress who has been in a lot of like Vietnamese martial arts movies, but she's also very well known for, spoiler alert, dying in the first 5 minutes of Star Wars The Last Jedi. She plays Paige Tico.
Mm-hmm.
She is also, this isn't even her first Netflix original movie because she's also in Crouching Tiger, Sword of Destiny.
Okay.
The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel that only ended up on Netflix, which one day I'll force you to watch.
I mean, we could watch a part of this month. We really don't have the whole thing pushed out. So.
True. Yeah.
It is an action movie, so maybe it'll appear later.
You never know.
We'll see.
And then besides that, like I keep going, Alex Mraz, he's in two Twilight movies.
There's some decent, like, the other officers on the force, there's a couple of people who are people, you know, Margaret Cho.
Margaret Cho.
The sergeant. Then there's that other guy. There's Kenneth Choi is in here.
Yeah.
He's also well-known in the Marvel.
He's part of the...
MCU. He's part of the Howling Commandos.
Yeah. And he also is the principal of Spider-Man School in Spider-Man Homecoming.
And there's the other guy who's, like, the real, like, the cop with the mustache. He's a comedian. I've seen him in a lot of things.
Which guy?
Who is the white dude who's the cop with the mustache who tries to take the wand?
Is it Ike Barinholtz?
I think it might be Ike.
He's on the Mindy Project.
Yes,
he's...
I'm pretty sure that's him.
All right, yeah. He does a voice in Neo Yokio. Speaking of Netflix original programming,
pretty sure it's Ike Barinholtz.
He does a voice in Call of Duty Zombies. He was on Mad TV for a while.
Yes, that's the guy.
All right,
he's
also in the Angry Birds movie.
Yep, I'm pretty sure that's him. Let me Google search his name because I don't think it has a picture. Yep, that's him, Ike Barinholtz. That's the guy.
And it keeps going, and everybody, there's like lots of people who have it, every single one. It's like, okay, yeah, I've seen them in something.
Sure.
But then it's like, but what?
So let's talk about this movie. Let's talk about
Joe Rogan
movie
plays
himself
in the movie.
That's true. He is in here for 5 seconds.
All right, so that's let's do the MacGuffin. And then we can tear this movie apart. The MacGuffin is super easy in this movie.
So what is a MacGuffin, Ryan?
Yeah, MacGuffin is a filmmaking term. Alfred Hitchcock used it a lot. It generally means the thing that people are trying to get. The driving item or force in the movie.
Yeah.
In Lord of the Rings. Never mind. Lord of the Rings is way too complicated of a MacGuffin situation.
No, but I would argue the MacGuffin is still
the
one ring.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Ultimately, it's either the destruction or the preservation of the one ring.
Sure. Let's go with that one.
I mean, ultimately,
I have some deep-seated feelings about those movies.
That's what everybody's working towards.
That's true.
One way or the other. That's why it's two sides.
Yeah.
So, So in this movie, it's pretty easy. It's that wand.
It's that wand.
It's the magic wand.
Yeah. Which they say it. Just and it's just like, man, you guys didn't even come up with a better name for it. Just magic wand.
I mean,
all right. I mean, it fits. It makes sense in the universe of the movie.
Let's talk about this movie.
Speaking of the universe of this movie, we need to talk about it.
So here's the thing. I don't think that the concept for the universe of this movie is bad. Basically, for those of you who haven't watched the movie, let me save you some time. The idea behind this movie is that it is a real world, quote unquote, like ours.
Yeah.
Looks like ours. Sounds like ours.
Yeah.
Feels like ours. However, it's shared with fantasy creatures.
Yep.
So dragons are real, and elves, and orcs, and pixies,
fairies,
and fairies,
kind of stuff.
All sorts
Trolls,
of stuff. They're real.
Dwarves.
And there's swords, and there was some sort of... Okay, and here's... Okay, that enough is like, okay, that's cool. Then they start trying to give you more information that you're supposed to glean from the beginning of the movie.
They try to world build, yeah, and the street art, which, as someone who has paid attention a lot to street art in the past, it's bad and ugly. Like,
sure.
Like,
I mean, it's typical looking graffiti.
It
it's not really street art.
Like it
There's part. I think there was one that looked like they tried to do a Banksy. Wasn't there a part where they tried to do a Banksy type thing?
Yeah, like a little bit of a like stenciling,
it starts out where it tries to look like typical like gang tagging, quote unquote, street art.
The street art looks like somebody who hasn't seen street art, their idea of what graffiti looked
like in
1982.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just somebody who hasn't actually looked at any street art besides like maybe seeing Banksy on a local television station.
So maybe you can clarify this for me a little bit. Because I was a little confused in this movie, and maybe you don't know either. But
and the world building is, I have a frustration with the world building
I'll be blunt. It's sloppy.
It's sloppy.
It's very sloppy because like, you don't feel. I feel like this is as much as I detest it, or as much as not detest it, but as much as it's overused. An opening monologue that described what happened in this world would have been very helpful. Because there's a lot of mentions of this Dark Lord that existed, and they somehow put him away.
But it was like 2,000 years ago.
It was like 2,000 years ago. But like that, I was never quite certain if like the orcs were on the Dark Lord's side or if they had risen up against the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
It seemed like both.
It's unclear. And so
I don't really get like that. I mean, let's just put it on Front Street. Let's just address the elephant in the room. The idea being that the orcs in this movie represent, I mean, other races other than white people.
Yeah, like
mostly.
So,
we're really gonna narrow it down. Mostly either like Hispanic or African American people.
Yeah, like, and I think that's the first criticism that can be extended a lot through this whole movie is it's not really well thought out and very heavy handed. Every problem with this movie can boil down to they didn't think it through. And they were really heavy handed about it.
Yeah, my problem is that
there was nobody sitting around when they were making the movie saying, no, like
my problem is
do it a different way.
My problem is that the movie doesn't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's trying to be a fun like fantasy action movie, but it's also trying to be End of Watch. So it's trying to be
grim and gritty.
It's trying to be Suicide Squad, but it's also trying to be a serious cop drama.
It is trying for both of those things.
Like I don't think that that's a bad idea. I think that you can make that movie. And just really play it seriously, which
but instead
they try.
They half made two movies.
Yeah, it didn't feel like they committed to one tone or the other. Yeah. That was my big issue with the movie overall was that. And also that it didn't really effectively communicate its message. I know what it was trying. I think, like, look, let's put it this way. It wasn't an accident that the main character, who is a human, is a black man. That's not a coincidence.
Uh-huh.
And it's not, and like, because the idea being that the orcs in this world represent, you know, Hispanic or black people, represent somebody who isn't white, who's a cop, and that's looked down on in those societies, according to this movie's.
Yeah.
That's what this movie is trying to posit. And I'm sure there's some truth to that. But, you know, I don't think they effectively they tried to like really paint it in broad strokes.
Oh yeah, the strokes were too broad.
Yeah, and that
there's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of room for nuance.
Yeah,
and they're like, no. Let's just blow that up.
Yeah,
let's blow it up instead of having any nuance.
Yeah, that's exactly what I felt like too.
They're like, look, there's a message here. Here's a sledgehammer, and we're gonna pound that message into your face.
But
that doesn't work exactly there. I don't care. This is a sledgehammer, and we are using it on your face right now.
Yeah, it really tries to push the message, and it doesn't really do it effectively.
Yeah, no, it actually, and I think part of the biggest problem with this movie, and the reason the message isn't very effective, is that none of our characters have any development at all.
No,
there is every single character from Will Smith on down is a cipher. They exist representing one specific viewpoint and one specific thing.
Right.
And there's no room for, again, there's no room for nuance. There's no room for change when you only exist on one dimension.
Right.
Like you can't have any depth of a character when there's no depth of a character. Like what is Will Smith's character? His character is he's a cop and nobody likes him and he doesn't care about it. But why doesn't anybody like him? We don't know.
I can answer the question why nobody likes him because nobody likes the fact that this is the first orc police officer. Let me finish. This is his partner is the first orc police officer and he's not on board with like, get him out. You need to be on our team and be racist like us. And he's like, look, I don't like the guy either, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to push another cop down.
But they hint that that's not it because he goes to Margaret Cho and he says, like, put me with literally anybody else. And she says, nobody wants to ride with you. So it implies that this was a problem with Will Smith before Nick Jacoby was there.
Sure.
But we don't know why. We don't know any backstory. We just know he's a renegade cop on the edge.
What I assumed is nobody wants to ride with you because you won't do anything about this, quote, problem. That's how I read that.
I think, like,
because, like, basically, until you get this guy off the force, no one's going to be your friend. It's your job to do this.
To be honest, either way, it sucks.
Yeah, either way, it sucks.
If that's it, that's dumb.
It is dumb.
And if that's not it, it's also dumb.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. What bothered me the most, I'm going to skip to the end of the movie.
Sure.
Why was he, like, the guy who got the magic power?
Oh, come on. You didn't see that?
No, I did. As soon as the movie started. I did, but it should have been Nick.
Yeah, that would have been. I could see that, but that
it would have made sense
plot,
that he
the plot
was more,
movie wanted it to be Will Smith.
But it should have been Nick. It would have made more sense that, like, hey, you're even more special than you thought you were.
Yeah,
like that would have made sense. Like, to me, like, okay, by the way, I should probably explain why what happened. So only certain people in this world can use magic wands.
Sure.
Like, if you're not magically, it'd be like in Harry Potter, if, like, Uncle Vernon picked up Harry's wand and Dudley picks it up and explodes.
Yeah.
That would, and takes Uncle Vernon and Aunt
Petunia
around
with him.
Yeah. So at the very end of this movie, it turns out, hey, guess what? Even though we've had no allusion to it and anywhere in the movie that he's magical in any way, shape, or form, turns out he can do magic.
We actually have, though. Like, when they pick up the crazy guy, he tells him.
Yeah, but he said, this guy's blessed. That doesn't mean that he's a bright, which is what they refer to people who can use magic.
But come on, what other thing would he be blessed with? As soon as they say he's blessed, and then later they're like, only special people can pick up, one in a million humans can pick up a wand. And that's what I'm like, clearly Will Smith is that one in a million humans.
I had a feeling that was what it was going to be. Like, but I was like, a little part of me is like, well, maybe it's like, he's like, maybe that was their way of saying, like, you need to stick with this guy. He's going to help you be better in some way.
Well, which did happen.
Yeah.
He got blooded.
This movie's silly. Oh, it's like every time you're like getting into like trying to be in a deeper into the characters, you hear something like that and you remember, oh yeah, it's like Underworld. It makes me feel like
it really
we're debating
is.
Underworld.
It really, like, I want this to cross over with Underworld and some fan fiction. Two, it feels like the world is has not been thought out nearly as much as Underworld was.
Yeah.
Which, Underworld.
Yeah.
I'm not talking like.
The first one.
I mean. Underworld is not well known for its incredible world building.
No.
But it's way better at
this,
it than this.
Here's the thing. I think this would have worked really well as a series. I think if this was a Netflix series and you had more time to explore the world and see more things, it would have worked better. The pacing would have been better. They could have pushed that message a bit more. They could have made things clearer. I think this type of thing works better episodically.
Oh,
I'm sure there is an idea for them to make more of these. That was probably the hope.
They've already signed a sequel.
Of course they have.
But man,
the first movie definitely left it up to be like, oh, there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The elf girl's still alive.
Well, and the problem is, okay.
By the way, elf girls just look, all the elves just look like they have like way too, like their teeth are just like covered in tartar.
Lily Dallas multipass.
No, they just look like they have like one solid mouth tooth. Do they floss?
But the elf girl, the description of her character, like, oh, she's like, what do I do? They're like, have you seen
The Fifth Element?
Do that.
Yeah.
Well, what about, no.
Just do that.
Go watch the movie again.
Yeah.
Just that.
And
don't,
there's
but,
points
but don't
in here
multiple.
That, like,
but
tries.
Wait, you just said something. Can you imagine this movie, but instead it's a police procedural show?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it would be basically Alien Nation, but. Oh, that sounds awesome.
But like this.
But you know how much I love
this movie
procedurals.
As like, as movie, as a series would have worked a lot better. Honestly, I probably would have been into it if it was a series because I wouldn't have felt so rushed. And like you can see where there's beats like that, like when the orc gang takes him and they're like going to kill him. Like, oh, man, that's an episode right there.
Yeah, the episode, the movie is pretty episodic
in
and of itself.
And then. And the problem is when you write a script that's and then it feels like a TV show.
Yeah, it feels, and, which is maybe on purpose because it's Netflix.
Right. But it should be when you write a script that when something happens, therefore something else happens, or because this happens, this happens.
Yeah, I mean, we see
that's South Park writing 101. That's why that show is well written, is because that's how they structure stories.
That's Community.
This happens, and because this happens, and then therefore this happens.
Yeah, that's story writing.
Yeah,
101.
That's
Max Landis, just because that's your last name.
And this movie doesn't, to me, do that. It's this and then when you start saying and then in your story, that's not usually pretty. That's not usually good. Not necessarily.
And the movie looks awesome.
Here's the thing. The makeup is really great. Mm-hmm. The effects are really good. Like, it looks polished. Yeah. And like, that's what bumps me out the most. I'm like, this looks great. However,
I would have appreciated more death metal in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's clear
I did enjoy that little joke.
Yeah, they play 10 seconds of a Cannibal Corpse song.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is a great orc love song. I'm like, right. Okay, let's have more of that.
Yeah.
And less of this, like, not awesome rapping. Which, yeah. The soundtrack, it has a soundtrack album.
Yeah.
And they tried, and they got some good people, but some of it's not great.
Yeah.
But it really is. Look, we're gonna follow the Suicide Squad blueprint
right
to the T.
Right. But I don't know. I just don't feel like it. I feel like the foundational idea of this world is a good one. The execution of what they've done is bad.
Yeah, there's something this movie does that bugs me, and I can barely put my finger on it.
Okay.
And it is, you watch Family Guy, ever watch Family Guy?
Yes.
You know, Family Guy does the thing where they do the gag too long.
Yeah.
They keep doing the thing until it's like, okay, well, it's not funny anymore. And they keep doing it. At some point, it's like, okay, it's funny again because we've been watching.
Yeah. You know who else does that? Portlandia.
Yeah. No, they both do it. And it's a kind of comedy that has arisen in
it's
the
like,
late
2000s.
It's like,
let's just beat this into the ground until it's not funny, and then it'll suddenly be funny again.
So this movie does that with non-comedy parts, with like, action scenes,
yeah,
where it's like, oh, they're just gonna shoot, and they're just gonna keep shooting and just keep shooting and more shooting and just so much shooting. It's like, okay, like, this isn't a good action scene.
Yeah.
This is just a lot of bullets.
I'm struggling.
It's just a bullet storm.
I'm struggling. Other than the car chase, which was pretty good.
No, it's the shootout in the gas station, the shootout in the strip club. It's the shootout at the very first where they're hiding behind the car and they're just getting shot. It's just like, okay, well, somebody here really likes machine guns.
Well,
that's great,
exciting. I would say none of the gunfights are that particularly engaging. The things that I remember as far as like the action sequences that I go, that was memorable, was the car chase. And anytime
the car chase is pretty cool.
The other elf guys and ladies are doing like the
kung
fu,
their ninja stuff. It's shot from bad angles, darkly lit. It happens.
Yeah, the car chase was probably the most memorable.
It almost happens too fast.
Yeah.
For you to really enjoy the cool martial arts bits. I get that they're supposed to be showing that elves are like superhuman and stuff, but it's just sort of like, oh well, I guess they took care of all those SWAT guys.
Yeah.
I didn't really see what they did, but now they're all dead.
Yeah, I feel like the car chase is the best part of the movie as far as action sequences go.
I think the
even like, the big final action sequence isn't that great.
No.
It was pretty cool though. I did enjoy when they first found that hideout and they just saw people like glowing ember skeletons.
Oh yeah.
And like that girl's in the wall, like a it was almost like some sort of like, it reminded me of like stuffing out of Dexter, like some sort of weird sort of serial killery look, but it's not.
But it also reminded
me
of
just
like
magic.
It reminded me of like Half-Life.
Yeah.
Like when you're investigating the Half-Life and you're like, oh, like there's half a person.
Oh, I was more talking about the lady who looks like an angel on the wall. Like done in such a way, it's like you look like you found something you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But because it's magic, and so she's like, I wish you were an angel person on the wall.
Like your ribs were integrated into this building or something.
Bye. Like that whole thing. I mean, overall, see, I don't really have much to say. Like, here's the thing. It was a movie. It was entertaining. It wasn't the worst thing I'd ever seen. It was a little long.
It's just...
But it wasn't like Catwoman bad where I had to like stop every 5 seconds.
No, it's not. It's not even a so bad. It's good because it's just an action movie.
It's just fine.
It's an action movie that's not as good as any of the good Fast and Furious is.
Yeah.
It's an action movie that's you know, not. It really feels like what if somebody really liked Michael Bay?
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm going to make a Michael Bay movie, but it's going to be darker and grimmer, and it'll still have some funny stuff, and I'm not as good at this movie thing as Michael Bay is.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Which is, like, come on. Michael Bay is not an auteur. I mean, he is in
a
way.
A lot of the jokes in this movie just don't land either, now that I think about it. They don't really land.
It really feels like this movie needed... So
like, they tried to also make Nick funny, But he's not.
He was kind of funny, but in like a weird, socially awkward way.
Yeah.
And it didn't work with every other orc. Like, and I was like, is it just that he's kind of a nerd?
I feel like
I think that maybe it was part of it.
I feel like what they're trying to do is the typical Will Smith partner. Make Will Smith look cool by being really awkward and uncomfortable. Be Kevin Kline in Wild Wild West, so Will Smith can go, he let him do his Will Smith thing.
Yeah,
and you be really awkward and sit and like really uncomfortable, and then he'll just look really cool. That's the Will Smith dynamic.
Yeah, I just
think about how many Will Smith movies where that's the thing.
That's even Martin Lawrence and Bad Boys.
The only one I could think of where it isn't the thing is Men in Black because Tommy Lee Jones is just so stoic.
Yep,
he doesn't seem awkward. He's just like it's the opposite. It's like
yeah, it's the opposite. That's why that movie worked. It was like, oh, they're doing the other Will Smith thing.
But Will Smith's like, I'm cool, right? And he's just like, I don't think you're cool.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I don't care.
Yeah. No, it's just like every time this movie could have been good.
Here's the thing.
It's not terrible. But I watch it and I just feel like there's all this wasted potential.
Yeah.
That they were like, that it feels like there needed to be a bunch more people who said no.
Sure.
And who said no.
Or how about this instead?
Yeah. Or like explain that more.
Yeah.
Or cut this and expand that. Like we don't need the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
But
I feel like if this was a show, they would have had plenty of time.
Yeah.
To put all this out there.
But I think it could have worked as a movie if there were more people who were willing to say, hey, don't do it this way.
Right.
Hey, what about this? You forgot about this. How come nobody cares about this character? Like the FBI, the Ministry of Magic guys, whatever they were called.
Yeah.
It's not FBI. It's not Ministry of Magic. But it's those two.
They're like
that's
a magical task force of some sort. Anti-magic task force.
Magic FBI. It's alcohol. It's ATF, but magic.
Yeah.
But like there was nothing. I was like, can we trust these guys? I don't know. We'll never know because they don't even have names.
Nope.
It's the fat redheaded guy with the beard and a Smurf.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. And like that could have been interesting if there was drama there. That there was this whole subplot with Nick.
Here's the internal affairs
that comes up once. It's like just cut that scene out. You don't need it. You don't need any of that part. It wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have affected the plot at all.
Yeah.
At all. It wouldn't affect the plot at all.
I assumed what was going to happen at some point was that he was going to have the recorder on them when they were telling him to kill Nick.
Right? It never came up again.
Nope. Not at all. And well, here's the thing. I bet you anything that he wrote this with sequels in mind.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
So knowing that, it means they're going to maybe try to pay some of this off later. Which again, TV show. Like, it's the way the second and third Pirates of the Caribbean movies were written, where it's like the same problem that we had with Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions. It's when you write them together, you get two halves of one movie instead of one movie.
But at least with those two, the two and three of the movie, we knew going into it that they were doing a trilogy,
right?
This one is just like, well, this is...
And you know what else I feel that way? And it's not that anyone cares about this movie anymore. Avatar feels like that too.
Yeah, it does. Which I think eventually they're going to do another one.
They were supposed to have already.
Yeah.
That's why Disney is confused as to why they have this theme park was supposed to be... That obviously spoils the movies. They're like, look, this is after the humans and the... What were the name of the Na'vi. The Na'vi.
I was going to say the
blue cat people.
Yeah.
This is after there's peace now. That's like... Well, thanks for spoiling that eventually there'll be peace.
That hasn't even come out. Yeah.
Man, with Unobtainium, the best MacGuffin name ever. We need to watch Avatar just to talk about Unobtainium.
I mean, it's Unobtainium is just like they're like, well, just put something there and we'll figure it out later. And then they were shooting the scene. He's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but this movie, so.
I was looking at some of the
critics' reviews, and a lot of people talked a lot of crap about this movie. Talked about how it's the worst movie that came out in 2017, all this stuff.
I don't think that.
And it is not terrible. And I think, I don't understand. Like, I understand being frustrated with this movie because I am frustrated with this movie. But, like, just, I don't know. I don't know if it's because it's on Netflix that there are different expectations for a movie or what it is, but a lot of people, a lot of critics really hated it, and then everybody on the internet was like, oh, that's not that bad. Yeah. Like, come on. Why? But a lot of critics really hated Suicide Squad, and it still made more money than Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
I have a feeling, though, but let me ask you this. If you paid $15 to go see this in the movie theater...
I wouldn't have.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You had it on a Netflix subscription, which you're paying monthly to watch a plethora of content.
Yeah, like so Llama
this,
Llama.
So like in a way, and I feel like your brain does this, it's free.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, it's a free movie.
It is
essentially
free. They spent
all this money on it. Yeah. But really, you're paying a monthly cost to see this movie.
For a free movie? For a movie that my brain registers free? Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, that's honestly how I felt about it. Like, yeah, we can pick it apart all day. I wouldn't. If somebody would ask me, should I? Well, I guess that's going to be at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see. I have.
I guess we didn't. We were so angry, by the way, with Catwoman. I don't think we said blockbuster or lackluster. I think
no,
we were just
so
mad.
Clearly lackluster.
It was very clearly lackluster. Don't watch Catwoman.
I have seen worse movies than this in theaters.
I have too.
I have paid money and been excited about worse movies than this in theaters easily.
Yep, me too.
I don't know. I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah. I'm glad I did too.
I thought it was all right. I thought it's not nearly as bad as everybody said it is.
I'm glad I did too. If at the very little least reason to be that, like, I know how I could have done this movie better.
Yeah, it's so inept, and I just feel like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it just bums me out. Like, I want to sit and clearly, you know, they're not going to learn any lessons from how this movie could have been better. They're going to say, well, I made a lot of money here. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And it just bums me out from the, like a person who likes movies. Like, it wouldn't have been that hard or any more expensive to make this a better movie with characters that mattered and that grew and developed in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they probably did a lot of advertising for companies that make machine guns.
Sure. So, Ryan, what do you rate this movie out of 10?
I've been struggling with this one. I have tried not to pull up the spreadsheet of every movie that I've ever rated and try to get better at triangulating it. I kind of just like seat of my pants deciding on a number. I think that I'm going to give this movie a 5.
All right.
It is middle of the road. It's fine. I would edge it over to blockbuster because the action sequences are great.
Sure.
The action sequences are well shot. And, it, you know, when you can tell what's happening, but... like that car chase scene is awesome and thrilling, and some of the other scenes are pretty exciting. So from a looks standpoint, movie looks great. From a writing standpoint, it could have been way better. Even from a directing standpoint, it could have been way better. But I think it's definitely middle of the road.
Okay. Yeah. 5 what's though?
Oh, all right. 5 just blown chances to be better.
Wow. Not even something from the movie. Wow.
Well, right. It is something from the movie.
Yeah, sure. So I'll also give it a 5 too. I feel like exactly the same way. It's like, it's a good, it's, I wouldn't say it's like, it's an okay movie. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine that this movie exists. But I wouldn't say
just
like,
wish it into the corner.
If someone was like, I'm not going to tell everybody like, wish it into the corner. No, that would maybe say me. It's good that you did that, Mac. It's a very good movie, David. It's good that you made this movie. David's movies are the best movies, aren't they?
That'd be sorry.
Ryan, no, don't.
It's,
you're not
it's
talking
fine.
Nice about my movies, are you, Ryan?
It's fine. Old Billy. Old Billy Mooney.
I just want to... Who was that, though? Who was that kid?
Billy Mooney's the actor.
That's right. Anyway, so... yeah, I would say 5, but I'll go with the 5. I'll say 5 bad like wax out of fairy out of 10.
That's so dumb.
Yeah,
why?
It was dumb. Because it needed to die.
Why did it exist? Why did we need it in the movie?
It's a
we
pest.
Didn't. We didn't
to prove this, it's the same reason why there's that one shot where they show a cityscape and a dragon flying
over.
And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Remember, fantasy.
But so much of the infrastructure would be different if they had gone up and come on. It's
so blockbuster or lackluster, Ryan?
I think it's a blockbuster.
I would say it slightly pours more into that cup than the lackluster cup. But I wouldn't say like rush out and see it. But if you're like bored at home one night and you're like, hey, I wondered if I should watch this movie, check it out. Maybe you'll like it.
Look, of all the movies that are on Netflix, it's better than half of them.
And I will say this. You'll at least be impressed to say, wow, all that $14 a month I pay is going towards
is
making
how much it costs now?
Something like that.
Depends on
how many screens you watch it on.
Oh, I got in real early on that.
Yeah.
I don't think we watch it on more than one screen at a time.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Well, I also have roommates. We all share.
Oh, right.
Anyway,
well, technically, I started watching this on my iPad while my wife finished her workout on the TV.
That's fair. So that is Bright. So we did get an email from our good friend Sean, our Super Action Stats, to kind of give us a little backup. I'll read this to you. So he said, loved your opinions on the really awful film Catwoman. I haven't watched Bright yet, but I've heard it's pretty awful. It's not as bad as you think, Sean. You'll see.
No, yeah.
I do have Netflix, so I'll be checking it out before the next episode. Anyhow, some notes for the next show. This is the sixth appearance of Will Smith on Super Action Bros, but I was surprised to find that it is the first time he has been on since Will Smith Month.
Huh.
It's true, huh?
That's true.
Which was July 2014. His previous showings were Episode 2, Bad Boys 2.
That was 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
Episode 7, Independence Day. Episode 18, Wild Wild West. Episode 19, iRobot. And episode 20, Men in Black. Joel Edgerton has appeared twice before, but only as Uncle Owen Lars from Tatooine in episodes 92 and 93 in Star Wars Episode 2 and 3.
That's right!
Yep.
Oh my gosh!
Kenneth Choi, similarly, has the same history on Super Action Bro. Two of his previous appearances, but as characters that I would assume are related to each other in the MCU. Jim Mariah in episode 150. Jim Morita in episode 152. Captain America, the First Avenger, and as Principal Morita in episode 163. Spider-Man Homecoming. That guy, actor Edgar Ramirez, was previously in episode 115, The Bourne Ultimatum. By the way, I watched Jason Bourne recently.
Oh, did you?
So now we're getting back in the ranch. Thank you, Sean, for our Super Action Stats for the show. I watched Jason Bourne recently. I won't go too deep into it, but I will say this. It fits perfectly well within the series, which means that I was not overwhelmed by it, I was not underwhelmed by it.
But it's not as good as
I found myself looking at my phone a couple times during the movie, and that really angered my roommate Matt, who does that in every other movie that we watch.
Really?
So, yes, he looks at his phone all the time. And I'm just like, I had to admit, look, it's not really grabbing me. Like, I get it. I know I get where the story's going. It's Jason Bourne. Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. I get it. I know how it goes. That's a line from the movie. Actually, it's actually not in the movie. That line is not in the movie.
What?
That line from the trailer. The Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne. That's not in the movie.
Funny.
It's broken up differently. But you can hear that guy say Jason Bourne in that voice. And in another scene, he says Jesus Christ. And I'm like, oh, they just merged them together.
They just added those two together, yeah.
But yeah, overall, was not that bad. Was not that good. It's another Bourne movie. It feels like another Bourne movie. That's all I can say. So, again, I don't love the Jason Bourne movies like everybody else does. I think they're perfectly fine. But
I like them, all right.
Yeah.
I saw Thor 3.
Saw Thor Ragnarok.
And everybody told me.
I just bought that today.
Everybody I know came to me and said, Ryan, I saw the new Thor movie. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Like, the way you and Chu and everybody else I talked to said, the way it sounded like was, I didn't think it was awesome, but I know you will.
Yeah.
And I did.
I thought it was fine.
No,
my complaint, which you know, was
that...
Yeah,
it was too funny.
No, it was same joke. I'm going to watch it again. I actually bought it today because I have a credit card that when you spend money on it, it gives you a certain amount of points. It gives you an iTunes gift card. But I also pay it off with cash. But I got an iTunes gift card for $25 and I'm like, there's nothing else I really want. I don't really want to watch Coco again because I'm going to cry. So I'd rather watch Thor again. It's almost like I collect those in the Star Wars movies just to have them.
Yeah, like that's a watcher. I'll sit there and I'll watch that several more times.
Sure, and I would watch Thor Ragnarok.
I really
again.
Liked it.
I also saw Black Panther. I enjoyed it.
I really want to see that.
I enjoyed it.
Might see it this weekend.
It does a really good. It kind of holds its own. Doesn't really require you to have watched all the other MCU movies. It helps,
but it
can work on its own enough. I enjoyed it. Here's my thing. I don't think I love it as much as everybody else does.
All right.
Like, I like it a lot. I think it's really good. It's a solid movie. But if someone's like, oh man, is it in your top five MCU? I'm like, I don't know. I really don't think so. Like, maybe it's top 10 for sure. It's one of the better origin movies. I would say for me, it felt on par with Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Like, I enjoyed him about the same. Like, I enjoyed watching it. I had a fun time watching it. There's some cool sequences in it. But I'm not going to be like, oh my God, you need to see Black Panther. It's amazing. Like, I don't know. It was good. It was good.
I want to see it.
It was good. I would definitely check it out. It's definitely worth the watch. It's cool. A lot of great action sequences. It's another great chapter in the show called the MCU.
Yeah, seriously.
That's what it is. But it also works well on its own. Like, you can show it to somebody who's never watched one. They'd be like, oh, okay. I follow this.
That's cool. So there's not a lot of Captain America running around.
No.
Cool.
There's no Captain America running around. I'll tell you that. So, no, it pretty much sits pretty well on its own. Let's see. Other than that, I don't really have any other movie news or things that I'm looking for. I know summer movies are starting now.
You see the trailer for Rampage? And the trailer, Rampage looks like...
There's a summer movie coming out like next week.
Yeah.
Like that's starting it off. I don't know what movie's coming out, but I was like, oh, shoot, it's almost March. That means that quote-unquote summer movies are starting.
It's weird to me. There's a couple of movies coming out this year that are very clearly like basically second or third generation Transformers movies. Like people saw the Transformers movies and were like, that could be better. And
oh, yeah, that's what's coming out. Death Wish is coming out next
week. That's right.
March 2nd.
Oh, that's weird that they remade that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't seem like it's a direct remake. It seems like it's like a reimagining.
Okay, sure.
I guess. I don't know.
But like Rampage looks like it could be, you know, it's almost a Transformers movie. Same with Pacific Rim 2.
Yep.
Looks also very much like a, you know, almost a Transformers movie. It's kind of cool that better movies are being made thanks to the idea of giant monsters and robots getting fought. There's a bunch of The Rock movies that look ridiculous coming out.
That's right. The new Tomb Raider movie's coming out.
Oh, the new Tomb Raider movie looks good.
It looks fun. I hope it's
It looks kind of like it looks more in line with Indiana Jones.
Well, it looks more in line with the game. The new games.
Yeah.
The new games are
the
like
investigating
that. I think the last one's called Tomb Raider, and then it's called, is it Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Sure. I don't know.
Those ones, they're made by Square. They're more.
Is the movie called Tomb Raider or is it called Lara Croft?
It's called, I think it's just called Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it seems more in line with those than like, hey, look at this character with big boobs that we made. These ones are more like, hey, she's a character. She's more like Indiana Jones. Like it's like a nice pairing to like Uncharted. Like that's how they kind of are. But there's another one. Yeah, Ready Player One's coming out soon.
Oh, that's right.
They're starting move like it's starting right now. The movie season is starting right now. Actually, it even kicked off earlier. But with Black Panther here, like that was a interesting choice. I'm gonna be at Disney World the week that Deadpool comes out.
Did you know that Dwayne Johnson is in a movie called Jungle Cruise coming out?
Yes.
Oh man.
I didn't know if they'd shelved it or not.
No, I heard them talking about it recently.
I heard they might have shelved the Haunted Mansion movie that they were working on.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be a bad
And a lot idea. Of it might have been used in there's an I heard a lot of it potentially was used in Crimson Peak. Like that was like the
I don't know what that is.
That movie that Guillermo del Toro made that's like an English horror movie.
Okay.
It's not really scary.
Hmm.
It's not. I mean, well, there's a couple frightening moments in it, but overall, I wouldn't say it was like terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, the movies that Guillermo del Toro makes are less scary as much as they are deeply psychologically frightening.
Yeah, I mean, the older ones are more scary, like The Orphanage.
But they're
more psychologically scary. But the newer ones now are almost like fantasy art.
That's kind of what
I like. The last one I think that I've seen that I was like not scared by, but was legitimately just like was beautiful, but also like had moments of like really disturbing stuff was Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay, yeah.
I went and saw that alone.
Isn't Shape of Water, isn't that him?
Shape of Water.
Nominated for all kinds of awards.
Yeah, but it seems less a horror movie and more like, hey,
yeah,
there's
more
this
like a weirder
merman that exists
yeah,
in
yeah.
these. This lady falls in love with a merman.
Yep.
I haven't watched it yet. I've watched any of the Oscar nominated films.
I don't do that.
So here's the thing. Like I was just listening to somebody talk about movie award season. And I'm gonna stop saying the phrase that the Oscars quote unquote don't matter. But I'm going to say I don't really care about the Oscars personally.
I've been like that for years. The Oscars matter from a sales standpoint.
Yeah, they matter for the actor who worked hard and they get that
and the
that
producers,
prestige. That,
and the directors.
That, yeah,
and
sure.
The, everybody who wins an Oscar, you know.
It matters in that sense. But to me as a person who like the fact that a movie won an Oscar, it's great. But I've watched movies that won Oscars. I watched movies that have been nominated for Oscars and I'm like, I rather would watch a different movie than this. I watched La La Land a little while ago. And it was fine.
Yeah, I got to the point several years ago. I think it was after I had kids, where it was basically where I was basically like, oh, like I don't really care about these movies. I like action movies. I like science fiction movies. Yeah. I do like serious dramas and strange sort of experimental cinema and stuff like that. But I don't feel a need to get into it.
I'll probably check some of them out eventually. It's what I tend to do. I watched Arrival. That was great. I like movies like that that you don't think they would normally nominate for an Oscar, but they do.
Oh, Annihilation is out this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I have the book in my to read list, and I am going to read it.
Oh, and Wrinkle in Time's coming out soon. I know you want to see that.
March 9th. Yeah, I'm stoked about it.
I like that. I like that book as a kid. I think I'm going to, when I go on my road trip next week, I'm going to listen to them on the way back, get them on Audible, because they're probably pretty short and I could probably listen to them.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're young adult books. They're real quick.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of Super Action Bros. But before we go, we want to give you a preview of the movie we'll be watching next time. So we're going to stick with Netflix and Kill Month, and we're going to go with another action movie that actually just recently came out on Netflix.
Yes.
Ryan, since it's by a director you enjoy a lot, I'll let you go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I liked his dad more than, than him. But.
It is a movie directed by Duncan Jones, who his dad was David Bowie. But Duncan Jones, he's the guy who made Moon, and he also made Source Code and Warcraft.
Yep.
So for those of you who love great movies.
he's got a mixed bag.
He's got a mixed bag. But anyway, it's called Mute. It is a, you know, like cyberpunk type Blade Runner-ish future noir movie.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Rudd is in it. Mm-hmm. And it is also a Netflix original. And it looks really cool. And reviews are, since, you know, just like we expect, kind of mixed. So we're going to watch that next
time.
We'll
make up our own minds next time. So thank you so much for listening to us talk about Bright, and join us next time where apparently the theme this month is single word titles, where we watch Mute. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.